그래도 나에게 영원하다면 되네. 배제나 더워다 등반도 깊이 소소전 다시 대자 등들어 내려요. 사예배 거제매도 참 여러분의 기회인데 제보한데 사예제노메는 몽호이 로크에 남다가 킹왕 하실구로 소예담 구르라 안달아가니야다야 내성지의 최다소제구나 창조받는 듯한 실수지 다빈주 노라빈시성제구르라 소성지의 최다소제구나 창조받는 듯한 실수지 나의 주교제별성 로라피셔성제노르 조성아제치라소제도나 자교만두다네셔성제 나의 주교제별성 로라피셔성제노르 조 뭐라서 마저나 기타다니 생기는지 토잘라네 바야다 조비 산지지 공파름 보지 이제 토브르 하고 대도브르 샤위 체도 담 추여름 보지 세냐 비글로 샤위지 셈지 세 셈베고네 셈브르 휴
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother sentient beings. It's with that kind of altruistic motivation, called bodhicitta motivation, that all participate in this teaching.
아니 단단히 답두고 그랬으나 진데 당은 쇼바 심하시 다시 진데 쇼바 심이 단데 단데 두고요 소자다 니 단단 이니 나니다 쇼바 심이 단데 당 오니시 노 조치오지시 두고요
All of us as sentient beings I believe need to be concerned with and work for the fulfillment of two purposes. And the two purposes are the purposes of this lifetime and the purposes of future lifetimes. In other words, we have things that need to be fulfilled in this life, purposes of life need to be fulfilled in this life, and as well as the same thing with our future lives. From spirituality point of view, from Dharma point of view, if you will, that of these two types of purpose of lives, if you will, which one is more important, if you ask, it is the purpose of future lives. So we need to learn to regard or pay more importance to, if you will, to the fulfillment of the purposes of future lives. When we think about this life, I mean, we are already here and now. We are already born in this world or universe or this situation, what do you want to call it? Of course, in our case, we have been very fortunate to be reborn as human beings. You know, we have this human life. But human life also has so many needs. So we need to at least find, if you will, the basic necessities of life, because that is the matter of you know, existence, the survival of life as a human being.
So that, any that, so, so, when rāna sōsō ānī tē sōsō ānī pēkē tsēndi yīn rō tāngi shē gu yō rē tā kā nā yī kē ānī tā rāna pūjū nā pūtī rī yō nā pāma yī nā sōsō ānī pūk pūjū tī rī pē yā pō yī kē sāng tōng gu yō rē tā kā nā yī kē tī rī mē nā yā sōsō ānī yī tsē tā shī nā tī rī tsāng wā rō rē tā yā pō yī kē sāng tōng gu tī tōng bā tsāng rō tōng bā tsāng mā sē tā tī ānī tā mō yōngyā kī chē dō nī tā lō shōng shē yā tāng tī māngbō jī shē gu kundu wās tā tī ngā bā dō mā nō kā kōgō nī hē gō yā yō mā rā wās.
The point I'm trying to get across to you here is that I think this, you know, all of you know really well, that, you know, we want to have a good life, you know, here and now, and that depends upon, you know, our own, how should I say, you know, personal situations, you know, as individuals or even as bachelors, you know, we need to think about how can I have a good life here and now. But then if one has family, then one has also think about how can I have a good family life, you know, because we naturally you know, have concern with our family members. Parents are so concerned with bringing up their children really in a proper way, you know, so that they could also have good life. And maybe then we think in terms of extended family, maybe we have more relatives, you know, and whatnot. So everybody is seeking a good life. And how can we have a good life? Well, one of the key things, as you all know, I mean, really well, is to have good education. That's why, you know, we go to get the kind of education we think that that's going to help us to have good life.
Sundata, lega shaba tanki, lozun yabu yana ya, lozun yabu yabashi, di tola pe lega yabushi, tinde yana ya, pe nguni tuni ke susu ngabadu, shong hami lele chikte guguras, tinde yabu shibu yungi tinzo, changbu shibu shi, tibi susu chobu shibu shi debu chichi, shagdo was. An tinde zan lega zan mishengi tinde, lega mithuni, sari, tinde ya mishengi tinde, mangbu chido was. Tanzulan togo da tende sen zan me gwe sen su su pe tangde che de ju yeba chi. Ani yungu do te tarre sa, te nga ma xe wa nga me lele tende shumba res. Te sam tongo sa nga padu.
Generally speaking, our belief is, and assumption is that if you have good education, you know, which includes everything that you think you should learn about, that will, you know, bring you the kind of good life you are seeking, then education leads to a good life, you know, good living, you know, and takes care of your well-being. But having said that, perhaps at a deeper level that I'm trying to get across to you is we really need to think about the working of karma or karmic actions. And that's why in Buddhism, you know, what we experience in this life, a lot of the time has to do with what we really did in our past lives. You see, yes, there are things we could do in this life which will affect our life in a positive way, or if you want to take it in a negative way, it's a negative way. But there are certain things which, so to speak, are beyond us, if you will, but we are contingent on what we really did in our past lives. And so that is a deeper issue that I want to get across to you, as I always try to. And, well, you know, for example, we know that, you know, maybe it is ourselves, people we know, that they really have a good education, but they've got a good job. Yeah? In spite of having received good education, in a worldly sense, I think that's what Geshe-la are getting at, and also having a good job, but still the life, you know, seems to run into more problems. You know, it's like you are, you know, hitting the, you know, bumps on the road rather than having a smooth drive of life. See? So what is happening? Whereas there are other people, maybe it's ourselves or others, we know that they don't seem to be doing good, you know? I mean, like, they didn't really get a tremendous education, you know? And maybe their job is not that of a great, but somehow, you see, when we think in terms of the quality of life or whatever, they seems to be just getting by, you know, more smoothly. So what is the issue here that we talk about? So that has something to do with maybe the kind of karma that we ourselves have created and accumulated in our past lifetimes. Those karmas are, you know, shall we say, producing, bringing their results.
So that, shewan dili, tsin dili ranso, chwe shiye ke, chwe shiye ke ta, koko zangbo chi to yore, wangbo tsang, daga na yi chwe shiye ke rangwaan yoba, tini ki ta, koko yabu shung yore, sun tsa, ta shewa shima penchi le, rang ane chwe dribi tunshin tsangwa ta, daga na yi chwe doyo le, ane rangwaan yoba ta, koko zangbo yunga ke ta, di gari, janda, misi ndi to le,
So if at a really deeper issue or the level is what we experience is has to do with the kind of karma that we have accumulated. And it could be in the past lives or the karmas we are doing now, or it could be all of the above. You know, there's interaction going on between different karmas. You know. So that's why at this time all of us have been very fortunate to have this great opportunity to cultivate spirituality or Dharma. So we have wonderful opportunity at our disposal. And so it is through cultivating spirituality, through creating positive actions or the karmas, if you will, that we are able to secure, if you will, good things in our lives. So that in our life, also able to have all the resources needed to further to pursue our school development. And so that we are also able to have the kind of freedom and space we have now in future life, so that we are able to push our development or the growth. You see, because those things are important elements. Without freedom, how to practice? How do you practice? See, and I thought that all of us, we are very fortunate now, and we need to make use of our tunes, if you will, to be able to continue our school development in our future
life.
Metaphorically speaking, we are really standing at a very critical, juncture or thing in terms of a border, right? Between is a borderline where we really have to make a decision. And whatever decision we make is going to impact our life. So metaphorically speaking, as you heard, Geshe Lo, the elevator, right into the elevator, gotta press a button.
Either goes up or it goes down.
If you don't press the button, you're just stuck. You want to go somewhere, now use this metaphor. Going up is a positive state of existence, right? And going down into a difficult situation of existence, should we choose? Don't press the, down button. That's where we go down. So we need to learn to press the button that goes up and have to make a decision. Now we are in the elevator. We got to press the button. Otherwise you're stuck there.
Fingers like this. Fingers like this. Like this. No, you have enough. You don't go there. Go up. When you're around, then that you have a current Google. It's somewhat. Don't get a tug. Starting with Google.
So what do we really want of us? In general, what are the demographic, all differences and everything, deep down within us, all of us seeking are the same thing. What do we want? We want to be free from suffering and its causes. Nobody wants suffering, right? We are same in, And so that is like what called the common aspiration, if you will, or the common wish or desire, if that's the word you choose to use, that we all share. So if our deepest creation of the wish is to frame suffering and its causes for good, right? We just want to be liberated from suffering. We all share that deep aspiration. Now the question is, how can we actualize this dream of ours and fulfill this aspiration? Well, there's no way that how much material resources we have, they really cannot liberate from the state of frame. In other words, what Geshe-la was trying to explain is that we can be as linear, just dreaming money for whatever we do. You just cannot buy free from suffering with money. Okay? And there's all this technological advent development. You can go through the surgery and get the freedom from suffering. You just can't. Okay? And maybe we have many powerful friends, high status and power, position friends, just they can help us free from suffering good. So the only way really that can bring freedom from suffering is only if we bring about inner transformation. We change our state of mind into something positive. Okay, that is the way. You know, no second option to that. So in order to be able to train our mind, first thing first, we got to learn about how to do that. So that's why education is so important. But to use traditional terms, it's called listening to teaching. In a modern language, it's called education. Okay? And once we learn about, you know, the techniques or the methods to bring about inner transformation, now with understanding, while we can leave the understanding at intellectual level. Okay, I know, I'm an expert in it. You know, duh, but haven't changed your mind. You know, you got to transform your. He didn't say how much do you know about how that. He said, have you changed your mind, transformed your mind? So what happens here is the education, it's the practice, right? Therefore, all these things go together. Learn how to change your mind, which is education, teaching, understand technique, then we have to, you know, apply that information, the knowledge, it's called this.
So what I'm trying to explain thus far is laying out this theory of we are and want to be. We are in a state of suffering. Okay, and where we want to be, freedom from suffering, state. So critically, in stating this, now we look within the four noble truths. You know, we have true spring, really self, didn't say that, want, okay. And so if you don't want that, it really sucks. How to get rid of that is we find what really brings us the suffering. The real cause of suffering, that's called the cause of suffering, okay. The real way to get rid of suffering is only if we can get rid of its causes. And that's the sure way to get out of suffering for us. So now it's, okay, just pick one. What is the cause of all the suffering we don't want? That's why, as we often talk about, it is that nasty grasping at the self. Okay, it's in Tibetan called tagzin, this, you know, tightness inside. It is the grasping at self. And it is a part of the ignorance called marigba, avidya in Sanskrit. Yeah. So that is the root cause of the suffering. It is from this root grows all other forms of delusions, and then you just multiply, and then the whole, you know, hell, you know, break here. And now that's the root cause. We need to knock it out. That's the only way to get from suffering. And what is the dog method, right, if you ask? So this is why the wisdom realizing selflessness, or use emptiness you want, okay, that is the antidote to uproot our grasp at, you know, self. So where do we learn wisdom or the antidote? You know, we learn about that from Buddha Dharma. Okay, so that's why Dharma or spirit is important. Now this in the context of three objects of refuge, jewel of Buddha, jewel of Dharma, jewel of Sangha, spiritual community. As I was explaining to you last week, jewel or Dharma is the actual object of refuge. By act, we mean is that which literally frees us from the suffering, saves us, protects us. That's what it's called to refuge. And how can we get the ring grace, if you wonder? It's only if we cut it within our mind. That's the only way we can get from Dharma, you know. And the metaphor we use is Dharma is like a medicine. We are all suffering from some kind of a sickness, okay? In order to cure that sickness, we need medication. And the medication we need this time, the Dharma. The medication is not something to keep next to us. It needs to be taken in, right? It needs to work with the system. So that's why Dharma needs to be cultivated, and that's how this medicine works.
That's true. Madrid, and then the Dungi Julie Tamaris.
I want to really, emphasize this really key point as much as I could, which I just, mentioned before. There's a really difference between knowing Dharma or the knowledge of Dharma and practicing or cultivation of Dharma. Depending on what you choose, you understand Dharma, you know about Dharma, you have the activities in Dharma, okay? But chudru means cultivation, is accomplishment. So those are two different things. If you know some, that does not mean that you are getting into practice. Yeah, maybe you know some people, right? Maybe quite a bit of Dharma. They have good knowledge. But it just is as a knowledge, because they don't really get into practice. In which case, the Dharma is not going to serve the kind of purpose that it is expected to serve. Dharma frees us from state of suffering. Practice it, yeah, it is the end of. But antidote doesn't work on its own, so we need to cultivate the antidote in our mind. So that's why practice, the Tibetan word is dubba, is important. As Srila quoted the words of our great master, he says, it's not enough, it's not accurate to know about Dharma. It is important to apply it into life, to cultivate it through the practice. So now about, okay, you want to have understanding of the knowledge of Dharma, able to practice it, right? And now we may be able to find two different things here. There are maybe those who know, everything there is to know about Dharma, and then they also put it into practice, right? So they have a complete understanding of Dharma, and they're also putting it into practice. But maybe that is another kind where you just only know this one thing, right, about Dharma, but you're also putting it into practice. You don't know much about everything, you don't know everything about Dharma, but you only know a portion of Dharma you put into. That's very good.
What
we need to keep in our mind is that, you see, the knowledge of Dharma, the progress in, Dharma, it is all accumulated. You see, we accumulate knowledge. It's like the Dharma knowledge is built on in a cumulative sense. A little bit now, then you learn more, you add on to that. Now the portion of your knowledge becomes bigger. Then you learn something more, you add to that. So this is how we build the knowledge, right? Understanding of Dharma. And this is how also we build our practice, in a sense, right? So one day, it really become a huge knowledge of Dharma and maybe a great, progress within us. And the example Geshe-la, uses here to illustrate is, look at the mountain, the Himalaya, that's what you heard, Himalayas, right? The Himalaya mountains did not come over, it's just like, boom, this whole came up. Scientists can explain this to us, right? All these atomic particles have accumulated for ages, they just pile up on top of one, they get glued to each other and whatever these atoms do, mysterious thing. That's why, over thousands and millions of years, then we got the Himalayan mountain there standing. So this is how it is. We accumulate knowledge, incrementally, it's just, that's the way to, put it,
I think.
So as Geshe-la was trying to demonstrate, that let's say today, we accumulate one virtue or a positive thing. Okay, tomorrow we do another one, but we add on to that. Okay, and the next day we do the same thing. So that, if we can put it in a metaphorical sense, the lump of positivity, it is just becoming larger and larger. It's growing in size. Okay, but don't start like, you know, one little like virtue, and then next time don't add on to that. Now that little virtue, it just kind of decreases. We lose it. You know, today it seems to be like all right. Then the next day you look at it because we didn't add anything. Maybe a piece of that virtue is gone. See, so that's not the wrong direction. We don't want to head into that direction. So the two key points I have met, is that, you know, first we need to learn about Dharma. Okay, this is where the education plays the key role. Once we learn about the Dharma, we need to implement it, put it into practice. So that's why, in a modern language, the theory and practice go together. So in a nutshell, as His Holiness Dalai Lama often advises us, reminds us, you know, he said, in a very simple language, he said, you know, cultivate kind heart, and, you know, if, you know, what's that, do not harm anyone. If you can, help others. If you can't help others, do not harm them. Now, puts all things in a very simple language, but they really contain this profound, you know, meaning. Basically, we're really talking about core, the essence of Dharma. And so that's why you see that, you know, the essence of Dharma is to cultivate the different, you know, the expresses in same sangha, which means, you know, the kind mind or the positive mind. But in English, it's somehow the translation doesn't sound right. It's have a good heart. Okay? What does a good heart mean? It's called love, you know, for others, compassion, you know, altruism. So by cultivating these attitudes, you know, we develop kindness, kind heart, you know, heart, the mind to and for others. And in the process, we recognize that, you know, if there's something we don't want, probably we can find out that I don't want it as well. If something good which we want, then we recognize that people probably want the same thing. Okay, as much as we want, others want love. As much as, you know, all the good things we want, others want them as well. And so in that way, if there's something to do about it and help others, go ahead. If you couldn't help others, at least do not harm others. Let's go to where we left off time in this is called miscellaneous collection of Namba Geshe's advices. And remember that three disciples of Adish, Kutan and Domdenba, you know, were asking a series of questions to their teacher, Guru Lama, Disha, and so was answering them. And Adi answered dealing with the six perfects, if you will, the parameters in Sanskrit. And I believe we already talked about that. He just said that the form of giving is what detachment. Okay, maybe if you know, we could use the word detachment. You're not getting attached, grasping what you mean. That is a real giving. So, and that's what the best giving is, on attachment. And the best form of the Shila is called Shiva, means peace, which is the peace of mind, unperturbed, undisturbed state of mind.
That thing is zebe cho cha zong is kana zebe cho mencha zong is. Are you na mencha zong bi na ta? Mencha ta ta ni ngaje ni te ta tere ngendare. Pena je chibu yong zo ga pena chibu ni sinten zo ga mencha zong ma ros. Somal we nga chebe yo sang sang ma to mencha zong so za zo gong ani zo gong ke ji na ani mencha zong tos kana.
And then Acharya goes on to explain that Shibchok, I'm literally translating here, the best form of patience or tolerance, shanti, is to be to get humbleness or humility in Tibetan called mecha soma. And so if one has that sense of humbleness, so that really counteracts arrogance and ego. If one is an ego maniac, well, that would be a humble person, because the ego maniac, what he or she thinks is, I am the best in the world, and I know everything, so, which means you don't know, and whereas sense of humbleness, then you respect all others, consider yourself is the humblest of all.
Or Sherpa
is an antidote to anger, control, depend. And in order to understand how patience counteracts anger, then we have to really look into these two different states of mind. How do they apprehend their what we call objects? The modes of apprehension, anger and patience in relation to their are distinctly different. If we cultivate humbleness, then it becomes easier, relatively speaking, to cultivate patience. But if something's to us, I think the sense it doesn't heal, right? How could this thing happen to me? Because then you think me is the one. Me, how could this thing happen to me? But when you can't fight it, right, you don't ask that question, how could this thing to me, There are two deluded states called control, which we usually translate as anger, xiedang, hatred. Closely related to each other, and they are buddies here. Sometimes we use the two interchangeably, Kongro and Shetan, Tibetan, anger and hatred. And as it is stated elsewhere, shall quoted from Miss Marie, that there is no negativity that is greater than hatred. Okay, means if you talk of negative evils, right? Now the greatest of all evils is the hatred, by the extension of the anger. Yeah. So what is the greatest virtue then, right? We got to talk about the positive side, of course, is patience. Patience, greatest of virtue. Why? Let's explain. Anger and hatred are very destructive, negative states of mind. As Geshe-la quoted in the lines that you may have accumulated merit or positive things for 1,000 years. We're not talking about 1,000 years. We're talking about eons, see that? Okay. Now, you lose coolness. You go for a angry. That's it. You see? The 1,000 years of work you accumulated have gone down. You just got angry for a moment. That's, it just destroyed the whole thing. So that's how destructive anger is. Whereas, if we cultivate patience, then we are able to face challenges. We can take them. We don't lose, our coolness easily. And we don't get mad. We don't get angry and hit. Then we're able to preserve our dues or merit. Bless you.
Well,
Some from the previous explanation, the metaphors, you know, Kesala used the metaphor of brush fire. Yeah. And, well, we have witnessed it right here. So it's just like a moment, it's like this brush fire, just, you know, catches on to all this, you know, ground, the bushes, it just burns, you know, house, you know, that's what we're seeing. So that's why we could accumulate lots of virtue for 1,000 years, just go mad, woman, and that's it. Okay, you just destroy the thing. And a great Indian master, Acharya Prakriti, in his recorded the lines from his memory, said, you know, what fun of retaliating against the harm you. In other words, if somebody get mad with you, what fun of mad against a person and then retaliate against a person? He said, that helps you, you see, not to experience the pain or the hurt you already experienced, right? If you think in terms of enemies, they inflict suffering on us. Now you go mad with the enemies, right? Crazy go. But does that craziness or the anger help you to reverse whatever pain they inflicted on you? It's already you experience it, you see? So how do you change that? That's already affect your life. So you rewind and say, I don't want that pain. Let me add with you. Let me rewind the thing and so that. It doesn't work that way. So anger is not an answer to harmful agents.
That's...
It recorded the whole sense of abstention where even in the case of the sattva. Again, this is where I add my famous footnote, my footnote one today. It has to be ordinary bodhisattva. So if a bodhisattva gets angry, even for a moment, whatever virtue he or she has accumulated through other, you know, virtual deeds such as generosity, you know, and what else, you know, morality and so on, so much of the accumulated is destroyed by anger. Well, I mean, somebody could, you know, issue like, you know, isn't it really, you know, almost impossible not to, you know, get angry? I mean, we just all get angry in our lives, you know, at one time at a time, you know. How could, you know, Dharma, you know, affect our life or help us to deal with that?
Okay,
let me resume my translation so that the clarity will shine through. Kesala was getting at that, well, every gets angry, mad in their lives, in these ones. So if anger is so destructive in destroying all your words, right? That seems like an important thing to protect you or, you know, good things we do. Yeah? So how can Dharma help us here? Yeah, I think it's getting better, clearer. Whatever practice we do, maybe we are doing prayers, we are doing adhana, doing our meditation, you know, whatever practice we are doing. At the end of the practice, if we properly dedicate our merit, whatever virtue we accumulate, then that kind of a dedication, it's our virtue. Okay, even if we get mad, you know, later on, it's not going to destroy kind of virtue. Kesala
sends us to stand your point and with the sentence, a metaphor, an example to explain to the concept. An example given is like, you know, if you ask, how does dedication look like that? Okay, so here's an example. It's like you have a drop of water, Okay, if you need to really just, you know, preserve it so that it doesn't get, that would help, hell of a work to do, right? How can you do that for a long time? But if that drop of water put into the ocean, then it emerges, it gets mixed with the water in the ocean, and as long as the ocean exists, the drop of exists.
And that kind of thing is done on the day.
Patient, likewise, or in the same way, when we are married for complete enlightenment, okay? So that kind of a marriage dedication, it preserves virtue until we reach that of enlightenment. So that's the power of altruistic dedication. Let me tell you a story about a man who was named called, I said this is against my own principle, translating a name. That Brahmin's name was called, Patience Brahmin. Mm-hmm. And so, let me do the story. And that Brahmin was waiting for a long time, a compulsory meditation in the forest.
So
one day, the king and his whole entourage, and accompanied by, his cooks and his ministers, and, and minister servants and all of that. The big contingent, they were out into the forest, it's just picnic or whatever expedition they were. So the king and the ministers and all the male ministers, that's understanding, what they do? They hunting. Okay. And of course, the queens, they really did not want to participate in that. Queens rather would like to crawl into the forest and enjoy the beauty and the, scenery and everything. So, they went on their own. So it was like groups. The ministers went on hunting, and all the queens and maybe their servants just, took off in the forest.
So that, and some of them do sin, that jarring one do sin, the young children, that transom seven and do sin, and the gom and tie, she thought that he was it, and they came with you, that
And so as they were strolling in the forest, the queens, they saw it Brahmin, under a tree, just sitting up, meditation, and looked very serene and high and, subdued and peaceful. And they paid their respect in the form of doing prostrations to Brahmin and request for an
instructing.
And the things that, they did not do the prostration we do these days, like the Indian tradition, which still do, they, touch their feet, Brahmin, and then put it on your head. So it's just like you're getting the bit on the top of your head. That is a form of prostration. So sometimes not the king and the ministers, so in search of their queens and their wives, so they just went around to look for them. So when the king and the ministers and the whole entourage approaching from a distance, the king saw all his queens and of them just sitting in the shop, and that is almost like a naked by this Brahmin. Brahmins don't wear much clothes, maybe a piece of clothes. And so he saw something, so the king really mad. He's from the distance, right? All queens there.
Mm-hmm.
from the distance,
so mad. He thought, like, you know, this naked, perfectly
naked, you know, man. What he is saying, you know, it's just to be all his queens completely duped by this man. He's such a cheater there. And so he just, you know, took out his sword and he brandishing it. He just, you know, towards the Brahmin.
That thing is, and then last time he lived, that guy, he did him twins, Jeff.
And then the king said, "Heck are you?" When he got near him,
Quran ke, then I.
And he, I am called Zubar means the one who
Zubar Gongki means
the who practices.
I think for that they were saying with me, and they were saying with me, three union love with you.
Yes. And the king was happy that response, you know, he's really not talking, you know, and so he just cut, you know, one of his arms.
Then the sad said that, and do the swings.
Of course, so that part of the arm fell on the, you know, ground. And then he said, "Okay, are you?" He still asked.
That will link with him on stage.
Still, he said the same thing. Fraction of patience.
Then they say, "They just did this in Sweden. Not transforming is the matter. Then now you have so much. Love when you the company and the you can't take it."
So so this whole thing, what happens, and every time King would, you know, cut a thin limb of this, for like he cut one, he said, "Who?" He still said, "I'm a practitioner." And he just cut the other arm, he said, "Who the heck are you?" And he said, "I'm a practitioner of patience." And he cut one of his legs. Typically, the Brahmin lost his two and the two legs.
That piece of the Quran Java Kibishenta Karache was made by Kibishas.
So, after being out of madness, you know, he amputated, maybe that's the more today, the arms and the legs of Brahman. Then he realized the person did not get upset or anything. He just, you know, maintained his, you know, peace completely. And so then the king regretted it for his, you know, own misdeed or actions, and he. So that Brahmin, I think in the ancient, probably, again, another second food, you know, those who really practice well, they're known to invoke the power of truth. Okay, they can make certain state of, you know, calling upon the power of truth, and then that would happen. So what the Brahmin did was he said, you know, when you cut my limbs, I did not get upset even a millisecond. Okay, if I'm telling the truth to you, by the power of this truth state, may my limbs, you know, just revive or just back attached normally to body, and that's what happened. The fallen arms and the fallen legs just got back to his body.
That is so. That is from that. Strong any.
And then the Brahmin said, you know, just as, you know, you sword four times and cut, you know, my arms for all them. So future, when I become the, may I do, you know, cut four limbs of your delusion, you know, just, you know, in the future.
That is only that you say, and it's that number here, and then Lord Yamaja Kong with Jahal Sanji with any Tambo.
I think the indication is the Brahman was his life's Buddha. Okay. And so 2,500 years old, when Shakya Buddha appeared in India, and he gave his teaching in Deer Park, Saranath, Varanasi, he had found one of the main disciples. So, excuse me for not the Sanskrit names of these five disciples. That's it in translation. So, in Tibetan translation of Sanskrit name, Tathu, that king, you know, later, you know, became one of the five disciples, and his name was called Tathu.
That's it. So, then.
So five names of the five disciples. Because there's nothing to drive it. I will be reading the same thing, you know.
That's my translation.
Okay, so those who need to know the names, so those names.
Okay, so that. And they call those in the Tambo and those in the. Could you go in the Nalani to cut those in the Hid Mati? No. I get to make those Sanji Sani. Kunzu any warana, so he night, he night yet.
No.
And they, Kunzu. Tambo Ashta, you're watching Tombra.
No.
Kunzu Sanji Til Made, Sanji Lord from the Yuzani, and the other Chinese woman, the son, Kunzu dress on it. Kunzu, what I'm here, Kunzu. That is a tank on my lady, chess of Kunabotil. She a teen, and eh, could you go on it? Pete Tin, really inducing any, Chitani, and you currently Lord Shiva that is very rich. And that is what was your Sabotan.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of sides to the story, and Gisela Chusamtelma, and then he started to withdraw the story anyway. So which part that is like in Buddha, right, at Bodh Gaya. Then he drew Saranath, and on the way, he saw these five disciples. Of course, ever once of them started with the Buddha practice, went into this, you know, in this practice, I think they couldn't handle it anymore. They said, this is just crazy, we are going to go. So, sort of passed by, whatever he is. And now become Buddha is a Buddha already. So he's coming there. So they said, well, guy is coming here. Let's not talk him, you know. Then we don't see this guy anymore. But anyway, they couldn't act. So,
Tambo do Shibrida.
I think it's a story. So I'm dealing with that story, not tell the story. Now he wants to tell the story.
Sanji Jarumbi came with the Haku.
They saw that Buddha was coming, you know, toward him.
Kotama.
So at that time name was Bhikshu Gautama.
That is a that Quran to Timpin. Suka Yamala as Simon Suka Nili as this.
No,
that Kunzupe Eligir.
And then five of them, you know, they said they make kind of a decision. They said, you know, see, the being is coming towards us. Let's not get up and respect him. Okay, let's not do that. Just stop him. Just pretend we don't. So when he came near them, the one of them is called Kodina, right? Whatever reason, he just got up, you know, respect Buddha. Now others followed the dynamics, you know, one got up, the others just follow, I think.
And they said that I pissed them.
So the Kunshi Bodhina, you know, he called Buddha, called Saradamba. Saradamba, I mean, there's no way to translate really, but almost like, you know, lower form of address, you know, thought, you know, Buddha was a Buddha then, right? He called Saradamba, you know, something like a novice thing.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome. Yeah. Buddha said, now you cannot call me that because I have already enlightened. So I'm a Buddha, so you cannot call me that. So the real point is that now, okay, Buddha and the five are together. Then Buddha started asking, you know, things to Kunshi Kodina. She asked things. Each time he asked something, you know, Kodina gained new realization. Okay, so this is what happened when in the past life he cut the four limbs of the Brahman. This time Buddha asked, as he promised, when he became Buddha, may he able to get four delusions, you know, from the mind of this person. And what exactly happened, excuse me, he gained a direct insight into emptiness. But he, not only that, he progressed in one, so to speak, them an arahat or arahan. That means he becomes, I mean, he completely got rid of a delusion.
So
Kunshi Kodinaya, you know, in his previous life, nasty king who hated the Brahmin. And that Brahmin now is the Shakyamuni Gautama Buddha.
Zeben Zeg show Tambalas, Zeba Gonki show this, then Zeg is a time, you don't want to show Tambalas. How Luther Lumi Shepherds, how long did it come so much Zeba Gonki then in Hindris? Keper and Jushin was on the Lamisha the different Jews, and the living debut to get flat the top of the Mazi and the big Sene as you come to Togresta to Canada.
Geshe-la quotes some lines, which basically that if cultivate patience, through cultivating patience, that we are able to learn about what we need to abandon. They are called objects of abandonment. But things we need to cultivate or adopt. So it is very beautiful called Pangla, but I need to use so many words to translate. And then also you learn it, kebergyur, you gain the expertise. And so by virtue of your patience and getting rid of the things you need to get rid of, cultivating the things you need to cultivate, you will good rewards as a social being and human beings. And through that process, eventually become of the enlightened being. So those lines come from Chandrakriti's supplement to the myth of Madhyamik Avatar.
Jerumuchi
or Manjuri Lama Swastis, during the line, said that, having patience or cultivating patience, metaphorically speaking, putting on the ornament. Okay, and we think that maybe the really great ornament. You figure this one out, it's the best ornament is patience. And it's the best what we call answer response to sins and things brought upon us by delusions.
Counters
a hatred, just as Buddha destroys the snake. The Garuda, this mythical bird, you might call it mythical, is the real antidote to snake. However ferocious the snake is, the Garuda destroys it. So that pain is the antidote to hate it, and And it is the armor we can put on which protects us from, the arrows of harsh words that people shoot at us. People can be very nasty and bad things, doesn't matter. You have part of
pains.
And of course there are many benefits cultivating patience, as Nagarjuna states in his press garden or Ramali, and where dung then pins literally produces radiance. Now the radiance can be understood in terms of attractiveness, but that's what if you want to be super handsome or beautiful, that everybody's like, oh my gosh, this beautiful person. Well, where does that come from? Pins. So if he wants to be beautiful, not just beautiful, super duper beautiful, I think. So patience is this to do. When anger pops up in mind, what can we do with that? As some people say, take a walk, or take a shower, just shower, not a hot one. I guess I don't know about that. Maybe those things work temporarily. Well, anger is destructive in many ways, and it also impacts our life so negatively. And I really don't need to talk about these things. I'm just going to, just highlight a few things, and this thing really well. someone who is given to anger, you know, anger or getting angry, you know, time, what are some of the things see? They lose friends, they lose husbands and wives because nobody wants to be married to an angry person. All this happens, divorce, anger, you know, you lose job because you're so mad that nobody wants you at the place. Okay? And you lose friends, but enjoy being around you because, you know, don't bring any happiness.
So the condition of that country, the Pakaya, that Tavishal, the Nanda, you with Samalo, the controversy.
So there are many ways to anger, and one of the things is we really need to study anger, what it is, and what are the bad things or the results it produces. And we know that, then you know that will help us not to get angry or deal with anger. In Lamrim is which means stages of enlightenment, and now the genre, the in Tibetan Buddhism with the truth called Lamrim, and in the in the initial level practice, because it talks about three types of trainers, three types of practices. So there's one called the small practice or initial level practice. So it is initial level practice as well as a practice to come with the intermediate level practitioners. I know some of your heads are spinning, but okay. So that level of the practice, what they're talking about is to be able to renounce sara or sickly existence, we need to realize the suffering nature of samsara. Right? What is bad about being in samsara? So once we really understand how much suffering in samsara or sickly existence, then we develop aversion to the suffering samsara. Who wants to live suffering state? Because that one, so you don't. That's how you have aversion towards the misery in samsara. Well, I think in my footnote, I'd make a connection between this and what Geshe-la explained. I think in the same way, this isn't a footnote. If it's wrong, I'm responsible. In the same way, if we understand and study the disadvantage of anger, then we learn to let go of anger. Okay? So we're going to stop today. Geshe-la has been requested for prayers for a few people who just got an issue. Celia Maria Flores, 70 years old, and got a stroke, I think. So we have to remember her in our prayers. And Lily Hunt is in hospital with leukemia. Fan T. Tan, 70 years old, passed away in Vietnam. So these are the prayer requests I received. As we receive this request, for prayers for people, yes, we do our best to pray for them, but at the same time, this really serves as reminders to ourselves because we are all vulnerable to the same situations, right? Because we are not free from these sufferings that they are experiencing. So right now, we are very fortunate. We are in a very good state and well-being. So we need to really use our energy to cultivate, to practice Dharma fully so that, Dharma can stand by us when we are in a difficult situation. We are not in that kind of situation right now. So right now we should make best of our opportunity.
Oh, my name is Ben.
Whatever merit we have accumulated together this morning by participating in teaching, may Dhamma flourishes throughout the universe. May Holiness Dalai Lama and all other great holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their vision, fitting sentient beings. May spiritual gifts throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions be healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. This and other world environments be free of kinds of unwanted pains and problems. Beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. Last but not least, we dedicate our faith, merit, positive energy for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental operation, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Sinjore,
New announcement. I think every Wednesday, it seems like, you know, some of you come together here for distant groups to speak. And so listening to, I think, some opinions seems like it's not working out that beneficially. So now what I want to do is Wednesday, I think you meet at 7:30, correct me if I'm wrong, that he would rather like to come down 1 hour, be with you and teach from the Lamrim liberation in the palm of your hand. Okay, Lamrim, he will be here in 1 hour. Okay, and that means 7:30 to 8:30, and he's going to go upstairs to do his practice, so you can stay another half hour, do your meditation. So that is an hour and a half, right? So that he wants to announce, okay? So if you have some questions to ask, so that's a good time, right? You can bring your question, he'll be here, and he will teach and answer the questions. So Wednesday, 7:30, he shall come down 1 hour, teach Lam Rom liberation in the palm of your hand, that he go out there, do practice, you do your meditation half hour or you take off, that's your decision, right? That's how it's gonna go, okay? And especially he's thinking of like new students, new in the sense who have not been exposed to Buddhism and who haven't heard about Lam Rim, right? So maybe he'll come and teach, you know, Lam Rim. Okay.